more.
Glorious day, fellow traveler. Welcome to Science and God with Dr. G. That's me, Dr. Michael Gillen, physicist, astronomer, mathematician, and Christian. That's right, living, breathing evidence that science and Christianity are not mortal enemies, but good friends. Actually, an awesome power couple.
I have a question for you. Of your five physical senses, which one is the most important to you? Which is the one you'd most want to keep? I bet your first instinct is to say your sense of sight, right? Because for those of us who are sighted, it's hard to imagine going blind. Good grief, as I get older, it's bad enough just having to wear reading glasses. You know what I mean? What about your sense of hearing? You know, my dad fought in World War II and was severely deafened in both ears. As a child, I remember the big, clunky hearing aid he had to wear. It was harnessed to his chest. Yeah, it's not like the tiny hearing aids we have today. I can tell you, it was hard for Dad to be deaf. And for us, too, the whole family. What about your senses of taste and smell? You know, whenever you come down with a bad cold, you get a hint of what it's like to lose them, right? For one thing, food tastes like cardboard and has no aroma at all. Imagine going through your whole life like that. No thanks. You know, I love Mexican food way too much to imagine it. And life itself, losing its spice. Ay, 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 no way. And finally, what about your sense of touch? You know, compared to the others, it doesn't get a whole lot of attention. We tend to take it for granted, you know, to the point where we'd probably rate it dead last. But that, my friend, that would be a huge mistake, which is what today's journey is all about. So here goes, okay? For starters, in the New Testament, there are lots of reports about people being healed just by touching Jesus or his clothes. Why is that? Why is there so much power in the mere act of touching someone or something? You know, to this day, we hear about the laying on of hands. You've heard about that, right? That's where a holy person touches someone and reportedly heals them through fervent prayer. Does that really happen? Well, you don't have to believe in the Bible or in the laying on of hands to take seriously the power of touch. Yeah. Scientists have discovered and published scores of research papers on the subject. Back in the 1990s, one of my very first science reports for Good Morning America was on this very topic, the power of touch. I flew to the University of Miami, Miller School of Medicine, as I recall, and spent a whole day with Dr. Tiffany Field. Now, Dr. Field, she's a fascinating woman, smart, has been studying the healing power of touch for more than four decades. Yeah, and is now the director of the university's Touch Research Institute. Yes, that's what it's called, the Touch Research Institute. Can you imagine a whole institute devoted to the study of touch? And it's world famous. She's even written a book called, not surprisingly, Touch. What prompted Dr. Field to get into this area of scientific research? Well, here's what she says. Quote, back in the mid-70s when I was in grad school, I was working in a neonatal intensive care unit, and we were trying to figure out how we could help the preemies grow and be discharged faster. We started by stimulating them with non-nutritive nipples because they were being tube-fed. That helped them grow, and we figured if we stimulated more of their body than just their mouth, we would get even better results. So we started massaging them and they started gaining more weight and being discharged earlier, unquote. You know, in one study, premature infants that got just 3 15-minute sessions of touch therapy every day for 5 to 10 days gained, get this, a whopping 47% more weight than preemies who got standard medical care. In one well-known experiment, scientists put the simple act of hugging to the test. They injected live cold germs, that's right, into a group of subjects. Then they watched how the subjects' immune systems reacted. Now, subjects who got more hugs had a better immune response by far than those who had fewer hugs. In other words, hugs are good for your health, my friend. Hugs are good for your health. Anyway, although the science of touch is still a work in progress, they're still learning, there's already evidence that touch therapy can help patients with everything from asthma and certain kinds of cancer to autism and eating disorders. And not just physical ailments, by the way. There's evidence that touch therapy can also help people's emotional and mental health. You know, I remember when I was a kid, if I was feeling low, and it wasn't very often, because I've always been an upbeat person, but you know, whenever I was feeling low, a hug from mom would make all the difference in the world. You know, it didn't make my problems go away, but it sure made it easier for me to deal with them. You know what I'm talking about. You know, even now as a grown-up, when I'm feeling blue, and again, it doesn't happen very often, but yeah, it does. I have my bad days like just everybody else, including you, I'm sure. All it takes is one big hug from my wife, Laurel, or my precious son to brighten my day. I mean, it just makes me feel like a new man. It's the reason Laurel and I have always hugged our son as much as possible ever since he was a little guy. And yeah, like all kids, you know, he went through a phase where he didn't want mom or dad hugging him. Oh, God forbid, especially in public. Ay. But now that he's in his early 20s, you know, we're back to hugging on a regular basis. What can I say? We're a family of huggers. And, you know, it feels great. I'm glad we are. And the best part is this. Hugs don't cost anything. They're free. Unlike most medical treatments these days. Man, medical costs skyrocketing. But hugs, they're free. So go at it. Anyway, formal studies of Alzheimer's patients show the very same thing. You know, when relatives, friends, caregivers hug or massage, or even just touch their senescent loved ones, they calm way down. You know, and the healing touch even helps with their depression. Research shows that. You know, in one straightforward experiment, I love this one, was done by a French psychologist. Teachers gave some of their students friendly pats, you know, like on the arm or on the back, but not others. The result? The patted students were 3 times more likely to speak up in class than the non-patted students. Pretty remarkable. Listen to what Dr. Docher Keltner thinks about all this. He's a psychology professor at UC Berkeley. Quote, a pat on the back, a caress of the arm, after years immersed in the science of touch, I can tell you they are far more profound than we usually realize, unquote. Profound, his word, not mine. Now, what's the biology behind all this? What's the biology behind the healing touch? Well, very interesting. Listen up. The key is probably something you haven't heard about. It's called the vagus nerve, your vagus nerve. It's like a long telephone wire that runs from your brainstem all the way down to your colon, with countless branches along the way. You picture that? Now the branches connect to all of your major organs, which means the vagus nerve controls your heart rate, digestion, immune system, even your mood. Basically, your vagus nerve has its fingers in everything, all right? The vagus nerve is so powerful, doctors have invented a device called the vagal nerve stimulator. The device is usually implanted in a patient's chest where it connects directly with a major branch of the vagus nerve. Now, the stimulator is used to treat psychiatric and gastrointestinal disorders. And I'm talking about really tough problems, okay? Not the easy ones, the tough problems like treatment-resistant depression, PTSD, and inflammatory bowel disease. Those things are serious. That's how powerful the vagus nerve is. The beauty of touch therapy, my friend, is that you don't need a device implanted in your chest. When someone touches your skin, just merely touches your skin, when someone presses on it, fibers of your mighty vagus nerve light up like a Christmas tree. They light up. That, in turn, immediately triggers all kinds of powerful effects throughout your body and brain. For one thing, it lowers your body's level of cortisol, you know, the well-known stress hormone. And that's huge. That alone is huge. And here's why. Cortisol cripples your immune system. Yeah. So by lowering your cortisol level, the healing touch strengthens your immune system, which in turn helps you get healthy and stay healthy. And that's not all. I'm just starting. When your vagus nerve lights up, it can also trigger hormones that improve your mood. I mean, feel-good hormones like serotonin, dopamine, and even oxytocin, the famous love hormone. You've heard of that. Now, these discoveries that I'm describing to you have huge implications for modern medicine. Dr. Abraham Verghese is a senior physician and chaired professor at Stanford's School of Medicine. So he's the big shot, knows what he's talking about. At a TED Talk in Edinburgh, Scotland, this is what he told the audience, quote, "This may actually be heresy to say this at TED, but I'd like to introduce you to the most important innovation in medicine to come in the next 10 years. And that is the power of the human hand," unquote. "But there's a problem," says Dr. Verghese, "a big problem. Years ago, back in the day, doctors used to spend time with their patients. I remember as a kid, we had a family physician. He even made house calls. He came over to the house. Can you imagine that? That wasn't that long ago. I'm not that ancient. But back then, you know, doctors talked with their patients and gave them thorough hands-on examinations. But tragically, those days are now long gone. You know, the doctor's healing touch has all but disappeared. It's gone the way of the dinosaurs. Really tragic. Today," says Dr. Verghese, "doctors are in a hurry. And instead of hands-on examinations, they rely more and more on electronic machinery. I was going to say gadgetry, electronic machinery to make diagnoses. You know, MRIs, PET scans, ultrasounds, you name it. And now with the internet, there's even more distance between doctor and patient. Dr. Verghese calls today's remote medicine iMedicine, and the remote patient, the iPatient. Neither one," he says, "is the real McCoy," and he's right. Dr. Verghese admits machines and the internet are great in many, many ways. Of course they are. Nobody would argue against that. But because of them, he says, quote, "the real patient often wonders, where is everyone?" unquote. Now, interestingly, when we study non-humans, I'm talking primates like chimps and apes, we find that they spend about 10 to 20% of their waking hours grooming and touching each other. We humans are way less touchy-feely than that. I mean, way less. Although, and this is very interesting, it's different in different countries. Get this, in one interesting experiment, Canadian psychologist Sidney Girard visited cafes all over the world. And in each case, he watched two friends sitting and talking for about an hour, okay? And what did he find? In England, the two friends touched each other zero times. Zero times. The two guys are sitting there, two gals, whatever it was, sitting there talking, visiting in a cafe, and they spoke for an entire hour and they touched each other not once. In the United States, they touched each other twice. In France, they touched each other a whopping, get this, 110 times. That's the French. And the winner of the touchy-feely award, it goes to, drumroll please, Puerto Rico. The two friends touched each other 180 times. That works out to about once every 20 seconds. I did the calculation. Wow, it's a lot of touching going on. Dr. Tiffany Field, who I mentioned at the start of our journey, she did her own interesting experiment. But instead of cafes, she visited airports. And guess what she found? She saw very little touching going on. Most people, young and old, were on their cell phones or computer tablets. Listen to what she said, quote, "I think social media has been really detrimental to touch. Being on your phone is distancing people physically from each other. It used to be in airports you'd see people hugging and napping on each other. Now, they're just not touching," unquote. You know, the other day when I was on the internet, I read a really interesting testimonial from a woman who's both a wife and a mom. Here's what she said, quote, "My life improved when I learned to hug and to receive a hug. In my marriage, my spouse and I communicate with more trust when we add a touch element. As a mom, kids need a whole lot of touching, but untrained moms get tired of getting hanged on. Maybe apes can teach moms to be more accepting," unquote. I love that. But technology is not the only thing tearing us apart. No way. The rigid rules and regulations of today's society are also a problem. For example, most school systems forbid hugging or touching of any kind. Yes, I understand. We must absolutely, absolutely protect our kids from unwanted contact with others. But today's rules and regulations, they effectively criminalize the healing human touch. Think about that. Along with many other experts, Dr. Field condemns this state of affairs. Listen to what she says, quote, "I think we need to have more touch in the school system. I know private schools, they're allowed to touch kids. But in a lot of public schools, there's a mandate against touching. And I think that has to change. And it's only going to change if parent-teacher associations are encouraging teachers to touch the kids. I would say we can have kids giving each other back rubs. That's happening in Europe. In preschools, for example, kids are taught that," unquote. See, I didn't know that. That's really quite interesting. I wonder if our school systems would go for that. Very interesting idea. But based on decades of research, scientists have discovered the best way to maximize the power of the healing touch. Now listen to this. This is very, very interesting. Practical suggestions, practical results. First, do not touch someone using a light touch. It feels to them too much like a tickle, and it's totally counterproductive. Says Dr. Field, quote, heart rate increases when you're getting light pressure. Same with blood pressure, unquote. Not good. You don't want your heart rate to go up and your blood pressure to go up when somebody's touching you. But that's what happens when you just touch somebody very lightly. So don't do it. What's more, Dr. Field says, a light touch produces an increase in beta waves in the brain, which is very interesting, which we usually see when someone is agitated. So again, avoid the light touch. Stay away from it. Instead, Dr. Field says, use moderate pressure. Moderate pressure for the best results. Okay? Quote, holding hands, hugging, cuddling, they're all pretty good. What we find is that when you apply moderate pressure, as in a hug or giving a person a back rub, the effects are more positive than providing light pressure. Heart rate decreases when you're getting moderate pressure. And in the brain, we get an increase in theta waves, which is what typically accompanies relaxation, unquote. That's what we want. The healing human touch, relaxation. We don't want agitation, okay? So moderate pressure. You know, I confess I love getting massages, especially to my back and neck. And my wife, Laurel, God bless her, is so sweet and loving. She usually obliges me like 99.9% of the time. And the effect is always so incredibly rejuvenating. You know, it's like taking 2 weeks in the Bahamas. So much so that I claim she has magic hands, you know, a magical healing touch. Anyway, God bless her for that. When I'm away from home at an airport, for instance, I often sit in one of those huge, powerful, fancy massage chairs, you know, the one you pay $2, $3, $4 for like a 5-minute massage. But you know what? It's never the same as the real thing, you know? Why not? Well, in the scientific literature, you'll find all kinds of speculation. Some say it has something to do with the subtleties of the human electromagnetic field. It's a very weak field, but it's there. You know, others disagree. I'm reserving judgment until I see more data on the subject. In the meantime, I just know those mechanical devices are not like the real thing. For whatever reason, they're not. Anyway, I wonder what Jesus would make of our highly technological, highly touch-deprived society, you know? There's no biblical verse I know of. I haven't found one. If you have, let me know. I don't know of any biblical verse that offers us a direct answer to my question. What would Jesus think of our state of affairs today? But this much, my friend, I know. You and I, are made to love. To love God and to love one another. These are the two most important laws of the universe. Jesus replied, quote, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. You know, during the COVID pandemic, we've all been connected mostly virtually, you know. I've never done so many Zoom calls in my life. I'm zoomed out, really. No more Zooms, please. You know, it's like what Dr. Verghese says about modern medicine. During the pandemic, we all became I people, not real people, but I people, you know, virtual, remote people, isolated from real human contact, from the real healing human touch. And we've suffered greatly because of it. You know, witness the record levels of loneliness, depression, addiction, suicide. It's horrible. During that entire time when we were all locked down in our homes, we were unable to love as God commanded us to do, as God designed us to do, my friend. For there can be no true love without the human touch. Think about it. The human touch is, at its core, a loving gesture. We yearn to touch those whom we love. That real physical contact, it's all important. Without it, we feel deprived, and rightfully so, of something essential to life and love. And guess what? Science agrees that we are made to love, to hug, to touch. Listen one last time to Dr. Keltner. Remember, he's from UC Berkeley. He says this, quote, "To me, the science of touch convincingly suggests that we are wired to, we need to, connect with other people," unquote. Without that physical connection, without that healing human touch, you and I might as well be numb all over, like when your leg goes to sleep. Numb to the greatest joy you and I can ever experience. A joy you can only feel, my friend. A joy greater than anything you can see, smell, taste, or hear.
Okay, that's it for now. Remember, this podcast is not a lecture series. It's a conversation. So now it's your turn. Comments? Questions? I'm eager to hear from you. There's all kinds of ways you can connect up with me via my social media links in the show notes below. Till next time, I'm still Dr. G saying, I love science, I love God, I also love you, my fellow traveler. Thanks for listening.